Our first scriptures for tonight come from the Gospel of Matthew, from the 26th and 27th chapter. We'll be reading Matthew 26, 14 to 16, and Matthew 27, 1 to 10. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 861 and starting on 863. Matthew 26. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Matthew 27. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. When Judas the betrayer saw that he was condemned, he repented and was brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." So he took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price has been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When people say that confession is good for the soul, I think Scripture takes the position that confession is not just good, but necessary. And tonight, in our last time of worship in the Lenten season, we gather to consider the cost of our sin and confess. Now, we begin by talking about the sin of another. We began this season by looking at Judas's defining act and came to the conclusion that whatever his intentions, he was acting in his own interests and working toward his own ends. That's where he was. As our text tonight reminds us, he didn't get tricked into telling the chief priests where they could find Jesus to arrest him. He didn't let it slip. He went to them, asking for money to betray him, and then looked for the opportunity to do so. Too often, that is our response with sin as well. When the opportunity arises, we too quickly steal that sideways glance with a lustful look. You know, or we let jealousy bubble up in our hearts at another's success, or really any of the multitude of ways that we seek, first and foremost, our own satisfaction, comfort, and way, in spite of knowing that they are not faithful to the Lord our God or really good for us in any capacity. Our study of the Ten Commandments all this Lent, these instructions for living, has been intended to help us see the greater and lesser degrees to which we fail to be faithful. And I remind you again tonight that obedience to the rules is not earning God's love. It's the way that we express our love for God. And the contrary is true as well. The ways that we flout the revealed truth of Scripture are not only detrimental to our well-being, personally and communally, but they tell God what we really think of Him. And the more that we sin, the less aware we are of how rotten it is. Compounded sin dulls us to what our sin costs. We see this in the text for tonight as well. In chapter 27, as Judas realizes what he's done, he confesses to the priests. And the priests, the folks who should be interested in confession, aren't concerned with that. The high priests seem to be more concerned with the technical use of blood money than they are with the innocent blood that they intend to spill themselves. But to use Pink Floyd's phrase, they have become comfortably numb. And they care not where that leads Judas or Jesus or themselves. On Ash Wednesday, we talked about how Judas made of his life a rope of all the sin in his life. And in truth, just like Judas, we make a noose for ourselves out of the sin in our lives. And every time that we sin, it pulls just a little tighter. Every lie, every idol, every failure to rest, every blasphemy. Our sin will kill us. Maybe not physically, though that happens too, but our souls are crushed a little more by each step away from God that we take, by the choice to sin that compels us to make. The sin that we will not let go of, that we refuse to love God more than, could make that separation from God our eternal choice. But like a man in the gallows, there's nothing that we can do about the noose around our neck. Now, what comfort do we get from this ever-tightening burden of sin? It's insignificant compared to the cost. And we always sell ourselves and each other for far too little. In the text, we read that Judas betrayed his commitments and his master for 30 pieces of silver. If you search through the Old Testament, you'll find that 30 pieces is the compensation required for the death of a slave. Stolen livestock is worth more than this, let alone family who was accidentally killed. Judas sold his master cheaply. But when he realized the fuller cost, he had no hope left. And he died clinging to his sin. Lest we join him, we remember also tonight the second vein of confession that is encouraged in Scripture. Actually, they often go hand in hand, these two types of confession. After confessing our sin, we are encouraged to confess who Jesus truly is. We were discussing last night in Bible study what I think is one of the most important questions asked in all of Scripture. That Jesus turned to those who would be his disciples and says, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" Actually, I might have misspoke. It's not just one of the most important questions in Scripture. It's one of the most important questions, period. And I hope that it's the question on the forefront of your minds for the rest of this night and for the next few days. Who do you say that Jesus is? On the night before they were freed, the Israelites celebrated the first Passover. They ate a meal together. They prayed together their thanks for God's protection. And then they offered up a lamb whose blood marked their living places so that they might be passed over from the consequences of Egypt's sin. Passover then became a feast day for them to remember that they were set free from their bonds, that our God is a freer of slaves. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, the Passover preparations were just beginning. He came for all people who were and are still in bondage to their sin to set us free. And he himself would be the Lamb. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.